Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Truly, truly welcome back to the Sickle Cell Podcast. It's me, Steven, and I have an amazing guest on the show today.
Okay,
I'm supposed to introduce you, so hold on. We actually have an amazing series that we put together, and I know y'all are going to love this. This series is called Hot Topics. So Hot Topics, if you guys think about Hot Topics, think about the things that are untouchable, but you really want to touch, right?
Taboo.
There you go. But I think it's worth talking about. There's a lot of things in our sickle cell community that needs to be talked about. And we actually would love to hear from y'all to a different topics, but we want to kick this conversation off. We're putting ourselves at the forefront of having these uncomfortable conversations. So that's really what Hot Topics is about. We're going to kick this series off by addressing sickle cell and genetic compatibility. Yes, I said it. Sickle cell and genetic compatibility. And to be honest, for fair review, Cass had this idea. So for those of you that might have been questioning or wondering how this came about, please channel all your questions over to her. She really wanted to touch on this hot topic, and I'm here to have the conversation. So Cass, anything you want to add before we dive into these questions about this hot topic today?
Yeah, I just think these are conversations that need to be had within the sickle cell community. To Steven's point, like, you know, there's a lot of taboo topics that no one really touches on, but they are just as important. They're part of living with sickle cell or being affected by sickle cell. So these conversations need to be had. And we are putting ourselves in the line of fire here because I got some juicy, juicy questions for Steven. And I know he's got some juicy questions for me. So, you know, y'all don't add us or don't get mad at us for and I guess it should be said that, you know, these are our opinions. These are our standpoints. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And so we're kind of just providing those perspectives so that we can have these types of conversations because they need to be had. So that's all I got.
All right. Thank you for clarifying all of those discussions around this uncomfortable conversation. I'm really excited about this topic.
So it's not going to be that uncomfortable.
All right. We'll see. We'll see how it goes because I have some pretty, like you said, juicy questions for you. So
okay.
Hot topics. Topic one. Sickle cell and genetic compatibility. Cass, I have a question for you before you even start.
Yeah.
So how do you even define genetic compatibility?
That is a good question. Well, you know, one of my questions was, is there such thing as genetic compatibility? But for the sake of, you know, clarifying what we mean for this conversation, we're talking about two people who are madly in love and they have sickle cell trait. Do they have a child? Yes or no? Or two people with sickle cell disease that just get each other. And, you know, because they both live the disease, they understand each other on another level. Do they have children? So this is what we're referring to when we're talking about, quote unquote, genetic compatibility or incompatibility, however you want to see it.
Thank you. Thank you. And Cass, you're spot on, right? So genetic compatibility has actually been a term that has been used broadly in the scientific medical community. You guys know how much I love scientific papers, right? So when you think about genetic compatibility, it's actually typically performed on parents that are maybe thinking of having children. So you will actually encounter genetic compatibility tests or genetic compatibility discussions, genetic counseling on various disease states. So our focus is about genetic compatibility specifically around sickle cell disease. So Cass, I'm going to turn it over to you. Fire away with your hot topic question.
I get the first question? Okay.
Yes, you get first dip. So fire away.
Okay, we'll go ahead and segue into this. Steven, first and foremost, what are your thoughts about people getting together that are deemed genetically incompatible? And I put that term in air quotes. What are your thoughts on, you know, people getting together, two people with trait getting together, two people with sickle cell disease getting together and potentially having children?
You know, one of my favorite answers to every question is it depends.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you, how are you actually defining genetically incompatible? I need to know that. I know you just walked us through what we're talking about today, which is genetic compatibility. But what do you mean, Cass, when you're asking me about genetically incompatible? Please help me before I answer.
That's fair. That's fair. That means potentially bringing someone into this world that will have some sort of chronic issue or you know, health issue. And so people would say, and it kind of hurts my feelings to talk about it, but, you know, and people will write for Ask Dr. Q, people write in, how do I make sure my child doesn't have sickle cell disease? It hurts my feelings a little bit. It shouldn't, or I don't know how to take that, but it's just like, it doesn't feel good to hear that, right? But, you know, just for the sake of this conversation, it's, you know, potentially bringing a child into this world that might have a health problem.
Okay. So your question is asking me, what are my thoughts about people getting together if they are defined as genetically incompatible?
Yeah.
I think my thoughts is that, you know, everybody has to make an informed decision. I think, you know, the era where sometimes mistakes do happen because people are unaware, I think those areas are dead and gone. We have a lot of tools and resources at our fingertips now. And I understand it's very subjective, you know, based on where people live and location. But I think for those of us that have the resources in front of us, we do owe it to whoever is coming next or after us to do our due diligence and research, right? So my thoughts on people who are genetically incompatible is that they do their research and understand that being genetically incompatible, in quotation marks, could mean that you could potentially bring a child to this earth that might have disease X or disease Y, specifically here, sickle cell. You know what? Maybe these two people probably want to get together, but maybe they don't intend on having children. I don't think people should be stopped from getting together if they're in love with each other. I think if they make an informed decision to say, hey, one, you know what? We want to be together. We're just going to adopt. We don't want to have children. That's fair. The other case is for this same group. If they want to get together, they say, hey, you know what? We're going to have children. I think that's also fair and up to them. And I know that's unfair, or maybe this might be an unpopular opinion. I think these people have a right to make those choices as long as they are willing to understand what the consequences are. When I say consequences, it's not a bad thing. They need to be prepared to understand having a child with sickle cell would mean sometimes you might have to be up late at night, maybe making sure the child goes to the ER. They need to understand the full disease etiology. That's how I'll think about it. So I think if these two individuals who are deemed genetically incompatible, if they've done their research, they know what they are in for, I think it's fair to them to make that decision. Plus, who knows? Maybe they just decide they're going to get together and just be with each other because they love each other. Maybe they don't want to have a child. And I don't think they should be stopped from making that decision. I will make a caveat, though. There are some diseases, right, that, you know, when I talk about genetic compatibility testing for prospective parents, sometimes there are some medical conditions that, you know, if two individuals get together based on those tests, the offspring or the child that they might bring together, there's some disease that, you know, doctors will recommend that they abort the kid because maybe for that specific disease, the child is probably going to die after year one or year two. Maybe they're going to have a chronic condition, which is going to be really, really bad. I think for some disease conditions, though, they might even want to dig even further and understand the consequences of those. But I think, you know, for us, our discussion around sickle cell, if those two individuals make an informed decision, they feel confident, they know what they're in for, and they know they can take good care of the kid with the better resources, then sure, why not? Who am I to judge? At the end of the day, it's up to them. So that is my thoughts about two people getting together who are genetically incompatible.
Okay, I have a follow-up, though.
Wow, that's cheating. That's cheating. That's cheating. I'm supposed to ask the next one. You know what? I'll let you go. Keep going.
So just to give you guys context, Steven and I have talked about this offline too as well. And we're actually coming from the same side.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think what we want is to make sure people are informed and can make a decision. And it's why we do the work we do with Sickle Cell 101. And so even though I have sickle cell disease, right, and I've seen this topic in comment sections and in forums and all of that. And we're a minority, Stephen, I suspect we're a minority, right? People reply back with, that's so selfish. How could you do that? How could you want to bring, you know, your precious baby into this earth knowing that they will experience this excruciating pain. How could you do that? That is so selfish. Some people say that's evil. What do you say to those people?
I think, again, to each their own. You know, the way that I think about it is I always think about the bright side, right? So I think the fair thing is, you know, we all know, and I know we're not there yet with the sickle cell community, and there's a lot more work to be done in research, but there's a lot of research and treatments that are on the horizon that I believe is going to help people living with sickle cell manage the disease just fine. And even hopefully with some of these future curative options, right, people can live their healthy, regular life like they should. So to me, you know, I understand the concept of, you know what, it's going to be very, very challenging, very crucial to know you bring your child to this earth in constant pain. But I think about it on the bright side, there's a lot of treatments coming up in the horizon. The other thing that I think about, and as cliche as this might sound, there's a lot of people that live with sickle cell disease that I think that this world needs. There's people with sickle cell doing amazing things. Cass, I hate to give you shout outs, but I'm going to tell you, you started this organization doing amazing things. And I know a lot of people will agree with me. Lives are being changed by the work that you do. You know, recently I was following this guy, Dexter Darden. He talks about his sickle cell work, and he's on like this new TV show. I forgot the name of the TV show.
Oh, I know. Isn't it Saved by the Bell?
Yes, Saved by the Bell. Yeah. So I look at that and I'm so encouraged and amazed by it. But this guy has sickle cell. He's overcoming, doing amazing things. I see my sister, you know, a fashion designer, doing great things. I'm sure you guys listening can name so many sickle cell individuals. We know all the, you know, we talk about all the heroes who've done great things in the sickle cell space, right? I truly believe that as long as these individuals are making informed decisions, I think it's to their own. Because this world needs individuals who can show how much they are fierce for, how much they can overcome challenges and diseases. And maybe that might be sickle cell. You know, think about it as, I'm not saying sickle cell is like hypertension or diabetes or or heart disease. But let's be honest, our world is always going to be filled with different diseases. You know, think about a pandemic, you know, COVID-19. Diseases are always going to be around. I think as long as we're making advancements to help these people battling these diseases, then I think they deserve a fair shot. But I truly believe in order for these people to be here, these parents, especially those that are aware, need to be ready for what's coming and make that informed decision. So that's what I would say. You know, I think, you know what? I'm glad I have a friend. I don't know if you call me as your friend, but whatever. called Cass, who has sickle cell disease. And I'm glad I have a sister who has sickle cell disease. I know there's challenges there, but I think...
For a sec, I thought you called me sister. I was like, no, this is getting deep. Okay. No.
You're not cool enough. You're not cool enough for that. But I think, Cass, you know, hopefully... Enough of that. Hopefully, you kind of get what I'm sharing here, right? You know, it's not always the bad and the challenging things around sickle cell. There's a lot of great things that people living with sickle cell are accomplishing and doing. And everyone battling sickle cell have their own successes, and we need to celebrate that. So it's not always a bad thing. So if you're a parent, you make an informed decision to me, that's enough for that person to make their call.
What would the world be without its strongest people?
Wow. I should, you know what? You know how much I love quotes. Okay. Can you please repeat that? Please repeat that.
Wow. What would the world be without its strongest people? Us.
Okay.
The warriors. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit. Usually I'm the quote guy, but today I think you beat me to it. So that's the quote for today, guys. Boom. What will the world be without its strongest people? The sickle cell warriors. You know what? I added the sickle cell warriors, so this is my quote now.
Oh, can we both get credit?
Sure. I'll give you that.
I 100% agree with you. Like I said, there's not much more I can add to that. Just other than from my perspective, I don't mind that I have sickle cell. I mean, everybody has problems in this life. When you have a child, that child will have problems, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless, you can't protect your child from everything. So who's to say sickle cell is a worse problem than something else, or a better or worse problem. Like, problems are problems, whether they're mental, physical, financial. Everybody in this life deals with burdens. And so the way I see it is sickle cell is my problem, right? And I don't suffer from a lot of these other problems that that other people do. And that's just the way life is. We bring diversity to this world, the much needed diversity, the much needed strength and much needed voices into this world. So to end that question, I'm not mad at having sickle cell disease at all.
All right. That's fair. As long as it's informed, that's what I'll keep reiterating.
Sure.
All right, Cass, yeah. I think you had your first shot with your first question, which technically was like two questions in one.
I got through two questions.
All right. I might pull two on you as well. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
So of course, you know, Cass told me we're going to talk about this topic. I started doing some research and, you know, we're talking about genetic compatibility, right? One thing that we all know, and I always want to point this out, sickle cell is not a black disease. It can affect anybody. But it does disproportionately affect Black people or people of Black or African descent.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for people to be genetically compatible, like we're talking about, they need to know their genotype testing, right? Or their genotype or their genetic status, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, keeping all of these things I've spoken in mind, do you think all Black people should be mandated to get tested to know their genotype, especially for those that are unaware?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that this just goes to that whole staying informed of your situations. So in the same token, you can ask that, you can flip that question and ask, should all white people test for cystic fibrosis?
Mm.
And so I think genetic testing should be a universal thing. People have to know what they're going to be up against so that they can make informed decisions. We shouldn't be surprised, just like you said earlier, we shouldn't be surprised about things anymore. A lot of us have. I won't speak for the whole world, but a lot of us have resources at our fingertips where it's just a search away, or, you know, talking to a specialist away. And I'll go back and say, not everybody has access to all these resources, but if you do, there's no reason why we should go into a lot of this stuff blind. And so I believe in genetic testing for everybody. Funny enough, you know, I brought that example up of, you know, white people testing for cystic fibrosis.
Mm-hmm.
I actually carry a gene for cystic fibrosis and I'm not white.
Mm.
So I just say that to say, you know, it really does need to be a universal thing. White people can have sickle cell, Black people can have cystic fibrosis, and, you know, everything else in between. So the answer is yes. But then, for everybody, that's applicable to everybody.
Okay, that's fair. So would it be fair to say from your answer that you're saying that all Black people should be tested or know their genotype, and it should extend beyond, not just Black people, but everybody?
Yeah, everybody should know what they're dealing with or what they're handling. I feel like it should be a human right, right? And then we can make those decisions. It's informed decision making. Let's see what we're up against first, so that we know how to move forward from that.
Okay. Since you kind of gave me a two-in-one question, Ellie, I'm going to give you one too.
Okay.
I just had to sneak it in there. So, I mean, I think you're spot on. You know, everybody needs to know their genotype. It's just fair to know it. And I think it will just encompass all other genetic tests too. So with that, knowing your genotype comes with a test. With the test comes with cost,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many varying tests that people can do. And we talk about the resources we have at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. That's not universal. So I want to ask you, do you think that sickle cell testing should be made free for all? You know, let's say we focus on the lens of, say, the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say even globally. Should there be some type of funding or some type of resource where, you know, globally, this test becomes free for everybody? Or would you say, if we do that, then we have to do it for all diseases? I don't know. So what are your thoughts? Should we make sickle cell testing free for everybody?
I think it should be part of healthcare, right? I think everybody should have access to all panels of testing based off of what those results are. That can determine next steps, but at the very least, people need to know and have access to, and it should be free. It's just like, you know, people say healthcare is a right. I think this is part of that healthcare. And so, yes, I do think it should be free. Now, I know things can get complicated and intricate, and further testing may be needed. But I think at the very start, at the basic testing of the most common disorders or, you know, something that can be commonly found throughout, you know, just humankind, I think people should have access to testing for that.
Okay. I mean, you know, like, you know, this is kind of a routine test included in newborn screening here in the U.S., right? But we do know that's a challenge across the world. So, I mean, for me in an ideal world, my hope is, just like you said, make this test very free. But I also understand the challenges that comes with it. So, So that was kind of my second question I had for you around this. So I'm going to pause here and I'll let you fire away with your second question.
This is actually my third question because I did a 2-for-1.
Okay.
So let's just say we have this couple. They did the genetic testing. They both found out that they have sickle cell trait. They did not know. You know, I kind of painted the picture earlier, but they're still in love and they still want to have their own biological children. And they do know that they can bring children into this earth with sickle cell disease. What advice would you give to a couple like this?
So to clarify your question, these couple, you know, we're assuming they have sickle cell trait. They know what their risks are and they still want to have children. I think that's actually a simple question for me. I mean, my advice for them is going to be just know what you're up for, right? And just know that you can at least be ready to provide the resources for the children. I know life happens, you know, sometimes unforeseen circumstances happen, but I still think preparation can be done. So, you know, that's what I will tell them. You have to be prepared. You know, I would probably maybe give them more resources to go learn about a disease. You know, maybe provide them with even a hematologist that maybe they can speak to. You know, what are the things they should be prepared for maybe once you have the child at the early stage? How can you identify symptoms? How can you be proactive about sickle cell versus being reactive? Those are some of the things that I'll probably educate them on so they can stay ready and be prepared for it. Because if they truly, truly want to have the child, I can't stop them. You know, I don't think anybody has a right to stop them. So it's pretty much at that point for such a couple that have made up their mind, what kind of tools and resources can we provide to such individuals to ensure that, you know, once they have their child with sickle cell disease, they're being well supported, right, Cass? So that's what I will say to that.
I have a follow-up.
Another follow-up to okay, keep going. I think that's your theme here. Okay.
You know, so you kind of talk. I'm gonna bring you into this, right? You give kind of polished answers. I'm sorry, I'm calling you out, Steven.
Okay, do what you gotta do.
You found yourself in this situation. You know, you have sickle cell trait, your partner has sickle cell trait, you guys want to have biological kids, or maybe let me not even add that part, but you guys want to have kids. Mm-hmm. What are you doing next?
All right, so if I had a partner has sickle cell trait, I have sickle cell trait, now we really want to have kids, right?
What are you doing?
I think for me, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that my partner and myself, we are. And as cliche as this sounds, we're financially sound. And maybe we kind of maybe want to ensure we have maybe jobs that will give us the flexibility where we can take time off. And maybe it's going to give us the opportunity where if we call in sick, it's not going to be those kind of jobs. We cannot do that. I think if me and my partner, we're going to sit down and take a close look at what we want our futures to look like. And I brought a job in, you know, as unfair as it sounds, I think that can truly, truly impact my kid's care and success. I want to be able to have a job if we're trying to have a kid where if I say, hey, for this week, I'm going to need to take Wednesday off because I need to go for a checkup. I don't need that to be a hindrance. If me and my partner sit down and we have that conversation and we realize that maybe my partner's career goal is to be maybe a nurse and work night shifts, I think that's where we have to probably look into each other's eyes and say, you know what? In as much as we would love to have kids, I think this is not the right decision because of the careers that we've decided to choose. I think that's a big factor. I mean, for me, you know, career finances is going to play a huge factor. I'm going to sit down with a partner and have that conversation. I think those two things is really going to affect the decision. You know, if we decide that, Cass, you know, I'm all about making sure you can have a good career with good work-life balance. But if I find out my job allows me the flexibility, my partner's job allows the flexibility, and we do know because of that, we can really take care of this kid, then sure, because we want the kid. But I also think that, you know, personally for me, I still owe it to that kid to ensure that if I bring them to this earth, I'm providing them my best self. And my best self will include making sure I can have time to take care of them. So I think for me, that's the step further I'll take, having that close conversation with my partner, making sure that our future careers and our finances will really, really support the kid. That's really where that final decision will be made.
Okay.
How about you? You know what? Since you just threw this off-ball question at me, how about you? You know what? This is called hot topics, right? Like hot Cheetos, things you don't want to touch, like ginger. I mean, I love ginger. Like you don't want to eat it or touch it, but maybe it might, you know what? It might sting you a little bit. So, Cass, I'm going to ask you, hot topics. What would you do if you were in those shoes?
Well, first, me personally, the way I know myself, I hate the hospital. And that's just through personal experience. So I'm not going to be reliving it with a with my child. And so that wouldn't be a thing for me. So while I do support people who do want to have kids who potentially have sickle cell disease, I know me. I know that's not my lifestyle. My heart's too soft. And I'm not saying that, you know, anybody who knowingly or brings a child with sickle cell, but I know I wouldn't be able to be that strong person that the child needs and be able to support it the way that that child should be supported. I'm like jelly. So if I still wanted to have a kid, it would probably be adoption or just be a really fun auntie. Or just not have kids at all, because living through it, I know I couldn't handle that twice.
All right. That's a fair answer. You know what? Yours might be an unpopular opinion, so I highly encourage you all to really come for her for a response. I'm just kidding. No, that's fair. You know what? To each their own, and I'm glad you provided. That's your truth, right? And that's what you truly believe in.
I knew you were going to turn that question back on me. Look at you.
You did.
You didn't come up with that question. You're not allowed to ask me.
No. Sometimes we can flex, you know. And again, I'm going to still provide a sneaky educational tool here. So Cass' question was great, right? Two parents who have sickle cell trait and decide to have a kid. So as a refresher, I'm sure all of us are experts now. If two parents have sickle cell trait, with each pregnancy, right, they have 25% chance of having a child born with sickle cell disease. There's a 50% chance that they will have a child who has sickle cell trait like they do. The other part too is there's a 25% chance that these two folks are going to have a child who has neither sickle cell trait nor sickle cell disease. So there's all of these, factors they have to put in place. I'm not saying, you know, just treat this like a lottery and just kind of risk it up, right? But these are the true chances that comes with these two parents that Cass proposed, right? These are the things that they're up against, and they have to evaluate all of those two things too. So thank you for answering your question that I threw back to you, which means that I get to ask the next question. Is that correct?
This is the last one, right?
Well, you never know. I might throw a curveball at you.
Okay.
So your last question, you kind of gave us a hypothetical situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you one too, and let's dig even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you are a child, and then you found out your parents knew that they had sickle cell trait,
mm-hmm.
just like your hypothetical situation earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And they still chose to have you
mm-hmm.
and bring you to this earth.
Mm-hmm.
One, how are your feelings going to be? What are your reactions going to be? And do you think that this child should be upset at the parents for knowing they had that risk and still chose to have them? Any thoughts mm-hmm. on that?
That's a good one. I feel like this is one of those questions. It's like, it just depends, right? So if I'm living the life I'm living right now, I'm not mad at my parents, but, you know, I can't speak for everybody because there are some people who are really going through it with sickle cell, and they have every right to be, you know, mad or angry if they are in the hospital on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, or whatever their life may be, or they're in pain, like severe pain every day. So it really just depends on that individual. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to this question. If you're not mad, you know, if you're able to find peace within that, then, you know, that's great. And if you want to, you can be mad at your parents too, equally. You have every single right to be mad at that situation. And so I can only answer for me, right? And for me, in my life, in this body, right now, If I knew my parents both knew that they had trait and they had me, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Thank you. I know this is a tough one, right?
That was tough.
And again, everyone might have a different one. I told you, I came prepared to really bring these hot topics over here. And again, you know, I know these are very, very serious conversations, but sometimes it's also good to, you know, just make things a little bit lighter. And I'm glad that you're able to share your truth.
Oh, yeah. Let's bring some light to this.
This is called hot topic. So, you know, I'll bring some water to quench it a little bit.
Yes, I need water. I need water.
I know. I had to bring that on you. But I think, I mean, you know, your answer, I couldn't be mad at your answer. You know, you said you wouldn't be mad at your parents, but one thing you acknowledge.
And you really can't be mad at any answer to that question, to be honest. If I'm being honest, you really can't be mad at anybody's response to that question. Every response is the right response to that. I can only just speak for myself for that, you know?
You know what? I'm going to give you a hard time on this.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I get it. You're right. You really cannot be mad. Everybody's answer to each their own. They know what they're going through with sickle cell. But you always give me a hard time whenever I give the quote-unquote political answers.
Mm-mm. Okay.
So to me, you kind of sat in the middle here. And so,
okay,
I'll give you a pass on this one because I know it's a challenging one.
No. What's the follow-up? I don't think I sat in the middle. I answered for myself because I can only answer for myself, right? I don't think I sat in the middle. I answered your question.
All right.
In my body, in my life right now, in my circumstances, you know what? Right now.
Okay. I was going to start keeping tabs of how many political answers you give me on these hot topics, but I guess that doesn't count. So.
You're the one giving all the political answers.
Well, you didn't let me today. No, that was good. That was good. Thank you. So I know that was the last question, right, from me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another one for me?
I don't know. I think it sounds like you have another one for me, huh?
Yeah, I have a surprise one for you. This one is like a surprise one. I had to sneak one in.
You would.
Last one here, Kat. So you were talking a lot about, you know, genetic compatibility, you know, and people knowing their genotype. You know, I think that's kind of a key theme and key takeaway. There's some educational nuggets in here that I've seen you sprinkle through that we all can benefit from. You know, I read a lot of medical literature. Mm-hmm. One thing that always bothers me is you see, even there's a couple of articles that will always say people should go be tested for sickle cell if they have a family history or if they are at risk of sickle cell. That term personally bothers me. Like, how are you defining someone at risk for sickle cell? So I want to ask you, you're reading the medical literature and all you're seeing is, you know what, people should get tested if they are at risk for sickle cell. How do you define that? Like, who is at risk for sickle cell to you? I just want to know.
So are you saying like the word risk has a negative connotation?
Personally, to me, you know, I think it's fair to use that term. But if you're saying someone should go get tested and know their genotype because they might be at risk for sickle cell, who are these people? Who is at risk for sickle cell? I guess that's my question. Like, who is at risk for sickle cell?
I have two different responses to that.
Okay.
Who's at risk for sickle cell?
Mm-hmm.
To answer that question, everybody.
Okay.
Right? Everyone. You know, just based off of everything that was said before, this really is a disorder that affects the globe. It's one of, if not the most common genetic disorder. So everyone is at quote unquote risk. But then the use of the word risk, I that's just kind of to go back to what I was saying a little bit earlier, right? You know, in some of this literature, you know, I dig through some of these articles too, and these, you know, the medical journals and everything. And it's kind of tough to read just because it's just every time you read about sickle cell, it's bad, 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 which, you know, it's a condition. It's a disorder. So, yeah, it's not bad, but there's never it should be neutral. Right. I think it should be up to the person, up to the reader to determine whether it's bad or good.
Mm.
And so words like risk and words like, oh, how do I get rid of a pregnancy with sickle cell, or, you know, just like those types of words, it doesn't feel good to read them. Or a lot of literature or a lot of doctors will say within their presentations, oh, you know, the life expectancy is 42 years old. Well, you know, that may be the facts or whatever. I think there's a way to deliver this information for it to be a little bit more neutral and to be considerate of people actually living with the disease, because not everyone may see it in a bad light. And I'm that person. I'm that girl. So I can only speak for myself, and maybe there are people who will say, absolutely, it is a risk 100%. But to me, it just doesn't feel the best reading that type of wording in medical literature.
Okay. No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think everybody, to your point, is at a risk for sickle cell, especially if you do not know your genotype. So that's why the encouragement should be, we know there's been gaps and we know all the medical disparities, right? And that's why we see a lot of people with sickle cell trait. They only find out they have sickle cell trait after they've had a child born with sickle cell disease. I think the risk is the people who do not know. So everyone is at risk and everyone should find out their genotype. And I think for me, that's why that term bothers me. So thank you for indulging in my last question. I think that's truly my last question, though. But thank you for being a great co-host today and answering all these tough questions. You know, I think truly our goal is to really bring up these uncomfortable discussions. And we always would love to hear from the audience, too. So, Kaz, anything you want to ask or talk or share with the audience?
Yeah, I want to look. You saw my first question. And my first question here, I'll read it again. And I want to pose it to the audience. I want y'all to, you know, either send us an email or DM us or put in the comments of the post that you see for this podcast episode. What are your thoughts about people getting together that are deemed genetically incompatible? Is it yes? Is it a no? How do you all feel? It'd be great to hear some of the community's responses. Are me and Steven in our own little world? Are we in La La Land? Like, what do y'all think? Are we just crazy and talking just, you know... I don't want to say...
I mean...
Yeah, are we...
I was in Disney a few weeks ago, but I think... I'm just kidding. No, I would love to hear from the audience, so you know.
Yeah.
I always say one thing that I think is important that we remind everybody about is that, you know, to me, the purpose of learning is not to just confirm what we believe or what we agree on. It's to evolve how we think and believe, right? So my answer today might not be the perfect answer, so I'd love to hear from everybody else.
Nor mine.
Exactly, and get everybody else's thoughts too. So thank you all for engaging with us. Anything else you want to add, Cass?
No, I'm good, Steven. Like I said, I'm wiped out now at this point.
I know. I threw a lot of questions at you today. All right, so... You guys know my little soapbox, right? So again, everything today, truly just for educational purposes only. And you always have to consult with your doctors and hematologists.
And discussion purposes, right?
And discussion purposes. Yes. That's our new add to that. So
boom.
Highly encourage you all. Please keep listening. If you have any questions, reach out. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We have TikTok now. Ooh, ooh. Thanks to Cass. So please follow us over there. And you can always reach us too at podcast@su101.org. And hopefully we'll catch you all next time on Hot Topics. So thank you all for listening and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, guys.
Adios.
Bye.